morning, church.
Good morning.
Church, please, to God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And let us pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful, beautiful morning you have given us. We thank you for everyone gathered here today. Lord, we ask that you just open our hearts and our minds, Father God, to receive your word, to receive your powers, to receive your hope and your joy in our lives. Thank you for this, time we get to gather together, Lord, to worship you and to study your word. May you bless this time. Amen. Amen. Okay, so here's my sermon title. That looks kind of appropriate. Fast food for 5,000. Amen. That kind of sums it up a little bit, right? And so I want to begin by saying that there are only two events recorded in all four Gospels. And one, of course, is the resurrection. Amen. That's the most important one, right? The second one would be this today's text, the feeding of the 5,000. Amen. So Mark, Luke, John, and Matthew. Amen.
Amen.
And now, does anyone know the difference between the feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000? You got it. You got a gold star, Pastor. Amen. Well, the difference is the 4,000, which was actually probably closer to 16,000, because that's just the men, okay? But the women and the children would have been probably closer to 16,000. Those were the Gentiles. And the feeding of the 5,000, today's text, those were the Jews, amen? So it was two different groups of people. And I just thought you guys might want to know. Amen. And then, of course, the 5,000 today would have been closer to 20,000 people. And the fact that the feeding of the 5,000 is spoken of in all four Gospels just shows how important and how valuable this text is. And it shows so much volume as to, you know, Jesus Christ and the crowds that followed him. Amen? So this is a very important text today. And most theologians believe that this may have been the largest crowd that Jesus ever ministered to. Amen? So, this was the biggest concert that Jesus ever gave. Amen? Other than the one he gives to all of us today. Amen? Our first verse says that when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. And then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. And so he had taken his 12 disciples to a quiet place to debrief and get some rest. Because remember, they had just come back from their journey of praying and healing. Amen? So they had just come back, and Jesus takes them to a quiet place. Amen? But in the next verse, it says that the crowd started to follow them. The crowd started to follow them, and Jesus welcomed them. And he spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he started to heal them. So Jesus is welcoming them, right? It seems that Jesus and the apostles, they were trying to get away, but here we see the kindness and the availability of Jesus, amen? For all of us, amen? When the crowds tracked him down, he looked at them with favor, and he would welcome them, and he would start to speak to them about the kingdom of God. And he would receive them the same way he receives us, amen? The same way he receives us, but have we received Jesus ourselves? That's the question, right? Have we received Jesus? See, receiving Jesus is very important. Amen? We have to receive him. Amen? But at the same time, the fact that he has received us is so much more important. Amen? Because he's received us regardless of where we're at or what we're doing in our lives. Amen? He's always ready to receive us. And he receives us because we're his children. Regardless of circumstance or status, he always stands ready to receive us. So Jesus is never too busy for any of us. Even at this important part of his ministry on earth, when him and the apostles are about to rest and regroup, he makes time for those who are following him, those who need him, amen, those who are coming up to him. So he speaks to them about the kingdom, and he heals those who need healing. And when we follow Christ, when we follow him, God always heals us, right? And one way or another, right? He always heals us, whether that's a spiritual healing or a physical healing or the ultimate permanent healing of calling us home. Amen? He's going to heal us one way or another when we come to Him, when we live our lives for Him. So Jesus had been preaching, and He had been healing all morning and into the afternoon, and the people, according to the apostles, were hungry and they were tired. Amen? They were hungry and tired. I kind of think that maybe they were a little hungry and tired themselves. Amen? So in the next verse it says that late in the afternoon, the 12 came to Jesus and said, and I kind of put my little spin on this right here, okay, on this part of the text. Because I kind of see them saying something like this. They say, look, Jesus, the preaching this morning has been amazing. Amen? The preaching has been amazing. And we could go on into the night just listening to you and watching you preach. But the people are tired. Amen? People are tired. Maybe we should send them to find a Motel 6. Or stop and get some fast food along the way. Amen? But there's nothing, because there's nothing here to eat in this remote place, they said. Then hoping Jesus would agree with them on their way, Jesus says, why don't you give them something to eat? If they're starving, why don't you give them something to eat? If you're so worried about them, right? Why don't you give them something to eat? They answered Jesus. He says, but Lord, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all of this crowd. Amen? Just imagine how much food that would be, right? In John's account, Philip explains that it would take more than half a year's wages just for each one to have one bite of bread. Amen? I read somewhere where it said it would have taken a semi-truck and a half full of bread to feed everyone that was there, 15,000 to 20,000 people, they're guessing. So they had tracked down Jesus, and they were listening to His teaching, and they were receiving all these miraculous healings. Amen? But they had been sitting and listening to Jesus all day, and they were hungry. And when Jesus finally tells the disciples, He says, you give them something to eat. They look at Him like, do you know what it would cost to feed this multitude? Like Jesus didn't already know, right? Right? Do you know what it would cost, Lord, to feed this multitude? And even if we had the money, do you know how long it would take to get the food and bring it back, right? So they're saying, we're tired and this task seems impossible. So they're doubting, right? They're doubting. Their faith is wavering. Amen? In verse 14, Jesus looks at him and says, and thinks, oh, you of little faith. You know, if you can't feed them, then why don't you see them? Amen. Okay. If you can't feed them, why don't you see them? And he says to the disciples, have them sit down in groups of 50. Have them sit down in groups of 50. And this is how our Lord works. Amen. This is an example of His grace in our lives when we drop the ball. Amen? When we drop the ball and we can't complete the task that He requires of us, He doesn't kick us off the team or put us on the bench. Right? He gives us something that kind of lines up with our level of faith, where we're at in our sanctification, in our lives. Amen? If we can't handle it, the Lord works with us. Amen? So He tells them to make the people sit down in groups of 50. And our Lord is so gracious that even when we fail Him, as long as we continue to follow Him, He will give us something that is in line with our faith. Amen? He will always give us something. He has a plan for all of us. Amen. He has a plan for us. He has a task for each and every one of us to better His kingdom. Amen? And in verse 15, the disciples did so. They sat everyone down. And the Lord, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, He gave thanks. Amen? And He broke the bread. Amen? And this is a beautiful way to pray for our meal. Amen? And I know Most of us bow our heads and pray at the dinner table, right? But I like this model that Jesus did. Amen. And I try to do this whenever I'm praying for the church. For a meal is, you know, I raise my hand and I pray to God. And I look up to Him and I pray to God about the meals. Amen. But that's what Jesus is doing here. And so Jesus gives thanks. He breaks the bread. Then He gives the pieces of the bread and the fish to the disciples to distribute. And it says in verse 17 that they all ate. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples had picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Then everybody satisfied everybody and still had food left over. Some say that the 12 baskets represented the 12 tribes of Israel. But of course, there's 12 disciples, right? There's 12 disciples. They each had a basket. Jesus was saying to them, not only am I going to complete this task for you, but I'm going to give you leftovers as well. I'm going to give you leftovers. Each one of you gets a basket of fast food to go. Amen? So, Jesus does it big. Amen? When He does it, He does it big. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. That's what the Lord does. All we can ask more than we can even ask or imagine. And when God does a miracle, He does it right and He does it big. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This miracle, as I said earlier, is mentioned four times in each of the once in each of the Gospels. And this just shows us how important this example was to Jesus. It's very important. Shows that God is concerned about our physical needs as well as our spiritual needs. He's concerned about all of our needs. Jesus felt compassion for them, and He also knew that their physical needs were important to them and that they would play a part in His miracle. If Jesus could fill their physical need, they would be more receptive of their spiritual needs. Focus more. Amen? And sort of like the model we have here on Wednesdays, right, Pastor? On our Bible studies, right? We partake in a meal, and then we partake in God's Word. Amen? And Matthew 5:6 says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And John 6:35 says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Amen. Right? Speaking of thirst.
Amen.
We're talking about the living water. Amen?
Amen.
If God would go through the trouble and sacrifice to send His only Son to die on the cross to purchase you with His blood, doesn't it make sense that He would provide for us in every possible way? In everything. Everything we come to Him with, He will provide. Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? You see, God wasn't going to let His people starve. He was just testing the disciples to see if their faith had grown since they'd come back from the earth. And God knew that they only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. But He was trying to teach that with God, all things are possible. We can accomplish much with very little when God is in control. Because God always multiplies. God can multiply everything. You know, sometimes we say, oh, I don't have that much. I can barely make it. Our family can barely make it. I can't contribute much. That's okay. Give what you can. Amen? Time, talents, treasure. We talked about that, right? You give what you can. And even if it's your last 2 points, amen, you give what you can. And put in a little bit and see what God can do. You put in a little bit and you see what God can do. And that's, I'm not just talking about in the church, I'm talking about in your lives, wherever you're at, wherever you're at. Amen. Give it to God. Give it to God. A few fish to us are a meal, but a few fish to the Lord can feed them all. It satisfies them all. Amen. There would even be leftovers for the disciples, right? There's even going to be leftovers. The Lord provides. Just take whatever you have, whatever you can, give it to the Lord and see what He can do with it. The kingdom of God, a little bit of faith, a little bit of prayer and a little bit of food can go a long way when we put our trust in God. So, we put our trust in God, and it seems the disciples at this point have gained even more trust in God as well. So they would finish eating their 12 baskets of fast food leftovers, and Jesus would then take them 25 miles north, next slide, to pray in Caesarea Philippi. So they were right here, amen? And they would go 25 miles north up here. Okay? And some say that if Jesus, sometimes say if Jesus was God, then why would he have to go pray to himself? You ever heard people say that, right? Why would he have to go pray to himself? And to that I would say that yes, the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are three in one, right? The Trinity, amen. But they're each their own person as well. They're each their own person. They're three persons in one. And then if they ask me to explain that, I would say, I can't explain it. Amen? Because some truths in the Bible just can't be explained by our limited intellect. Amen? Some truths in the Bible just can't be explained, but it's still the truth. It's still the truth because God's Word says it's the truth. Whether we can believe, understand it or not, we believe it because we know God's Word is the truth. See, praying also is just speaking to God. Praying is speaking to God. And the Son and the Father have been speaking to each other since the beginning of time. They've been speaking to each other since the beginning. Genesis 1:26 says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, right? In our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, all the wild animals, and over all the creatures. Speaking to God is just like being in His presence as well. And I think Jesus just wanted to be in the presence of the Father. Continually go off to pray on his own. And I know I want to be in the presence of the Father continually. Amen. We should all want to be here. Amen. And I think he wanted to be restored. He wanted to be refilled, just as we do when we come here every Tuesday and every Wednesday and every Sunday. We want to be refilled. And Jesus had been drained. Amen. He had been drained from dealing with all the pressures and the needs of this world. Because, you know, we're always living with some sort of problem. Amen? Or some sort of tragedy. Some sort of bad news. And it's constantly draining our peace and our joy in our lives. Constantly draining us. And a lot of us don't even realize it. Amen? We just keep on pressing on in misery sometimes. And, you know, praying and drawing on God's strength for peace. For peace and hope. You know, there's a promise given in God's Word that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. And they shall run and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Amen. Isaiah 41. This is a promise from God's Word that when we go to Him in prayer, when we speak to God, He renews our strength. And He gives us a hope for a new day. And this is the relationship through Jesus Christ that we talk about here every week. Amen? This is the relationship. When we speak to God, that builds our relationship. That's our prayers to God. And so don't just go through the motions, punching your ticket, mumbling your prayers. Go to God in earnest prayer. Speak to the Father who loves you. Loves the relationship. Amen. No wonder Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. Amen. He was living in a world that was draining him. It was draining him of all he could muster on his own, and he needed the Father to lift him up as well. Amen. He was in the flesh, right? He needed the Father's strength as well. And in verse 18 it says that Jesus was praying in private. And his disciples were with him, and he asked them, who are the crowds saying that I am? Who do the crowds say that I am? And Jesus didn't ask this question because he was ignorant of this point, or he needed the information. He asked because he knew use this question to introduce a more important follow-up question shortly. Amen. So we asked them, who do the crowds say that I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist. Which maybe they did look a little bit alike and were cousins, right? Amen. But some say John the Baptist. Still others say Elijah. That one of the prophets of long ago would maybe even have come back to life. Perhaps in seeing Jesus as John or Elijah, and someone, you know, that they were hoping for a political Messiah, right? They had been hoping for a political Messiah from the beginning, remember? They wanted someone to overthrow the corrupt powers that were oppressing them, right? They wanted Jesus in their life the way they wanted him. Amen? And little did they know, though, that he was going to be that and so much more. He wasn't there just to save Israel, right? He was there to save the world. Jesus was there to save the world. And in verse 20, speaking to the disciples, Jesus says, well, what about you? He says, what about you? Who do you say that I am? We know who they think that I am, but who do you say that I am? You see, Jesus assumed that the disciples would have a different opinion, right? They'd have a different opinion than the crowds. You know, they didn't just receive conventional wisdom and popular opinion like the crowds. They knew who Jesus was. They had been with him, right? They had been with him for a long time. They knew who he was. And John Guzik writes this question. He says that this is the question placed before all who hear of Jesus. And he's all of us. Amen. Who do you say that I am? And it is we, not he, who are judged by our answer. In fact, we answer this question every day by what we do and believe. If we really believe Jesus is who he says he is, it will affect the way we live. It will affect the way we live, and everybody will see it. Amen?
Amen.
And the light, the salt and the light of the world, right? People will see it in what we do, what we say, how we act. Peter believed, and Peter answered him and said, you are God's Messiah. You are God's Messiah. See, Peter knew Jesus much better than these crowds knew Jesus. Peter knew Jesus. He knew that Jesus was the Christ of God, God's Messiah, the promised Redeemer of the Old Testament, the Messiah from the heart of God, not the Messiah from the heart of man. Still is the Messiah today. The Messiah of God. So remember, there's only one way to the Father. Amen? That is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And through him and in him, all things are possible. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we can accomplish anything when we put our trust in you, Father. When we put you first in our lives. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the healing that you give us. The immeasurable healing that you give us, Lord, even when we don't know. We thank you that you're always in charge. That you're always in control. Lift up all those to you that are struggling, Father God, and we pray that they find a relationship with you, Lord. We give praise to you on this day. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Gave 24 years of service for our country.